So we're in Zechariah chapter 8. In this particular chapter, God is again promising His people Israel that one day they will have their own kingdom, as they often did in the Old Testament. But in the midst of that, He gave them some advice that is also applicable to us about our mission in life. And so we'll see that this morning. We're going to begin in verse 3. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to them that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these things are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace. So my title is, Love the Truth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. How beautiful it is that you preserved it for us, Lord, that it has the power to change our lives. And we pray that even this morning now, the Holy Spirit would take it and use it in our hearts and lives, that we would be listening, we would be focusing on hearing from you, and allowing the Spirit to do a work in our hearts. We are so grateful to be here. And may Jesus Christ be magnified and meet with us. We love you and pray this in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. So you can see this is mostly about God's promise to his people Israel and the wonderful kingdom that he will provide for them. But he also in there, as we saw, gave them some advice even in the meantime. And it all circled around his truth. Did you notice that even in the beginning of the passage, he said that in those final days during the kingdom, there in verse 3, he said, I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and it shall be called a city of truth. So one of the names of Jerusalem in the kingdom age will be the city of truth. Can you imagine? It certainly isn't that today. But it will be the city from where the truth flows, because Jesus Christ, as we know from Scripture, will be ruling and reigning in Jerusalem. And he is the truth and only speaks the truth. And then it talked there about his holy mountain. That, of course, is referring to his coming kingdom. He often referred to his kingdom as a mountain. But down in verse 8, it says, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. So God says that when that day comes, it will all be about truth and righteousness. And you know, today, we as God's children, it needs to be about truth and righteousness. Truth of God's word, As we'll see later, it needs to be an integral part of our lives. And God wants us to live a righteous life. He says, be ye holy as I am holy. And it's the righteousness of God that leads man to salvation. Because without salvation, we violate his righteousness. We talk in Sunday school and have no hope of heaven. But through Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. But Jesus Christ came to bring truth because he is truth. He told us in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you look at John chapter 1 and verse 17, when Jesus Christ came and began his ministry, I want you to see that truth is one of the things that Christ came to bring to this earth. John chapter 1 and verse 17, please. The Bible says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You and I are allowed to live in an age that wasn't even prophesied of in the Old Testament, the church age, the age of grace. Jesus Christ brought an age of grace and an age of truth. And that is the age in which we live now. And God says in that day, when God gives his kingdom to his people, he says they will live in truth and in righteousness. And he tells them here that they will be a blessing. That, again, it's not true today, is it? Israel is not a blessing to other nations. All the nations hate Israel. But that will be different when this time comes. He said there in verse 13, it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. So there will become a day when Jerusalem will again be the headquarters of the entire world. And we've seen that over and over as we've gone through Isaiah and now Jeremiah, that Jerusalem will be the seat of all power and the seat of all blessing for the world because Jesus Christ will rule and reign there. And he says down in verse 15, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, fear ye not. So more beautiful prophecies of what God intends to do for his people in their future kingdom, Israel. But beginning in verse 16, he then says, in the meantime, and this is what we need to hear this morning, this is what I want you to do. I want you to make my truth an integral part of your life. And that was true for Israel and is true for God's children, those of us that are Christians. At beginning verse 16, these are the things that ye shall do. So God says, now I want to lay out for you what I want you to do in the meantime until that kingdom comes, and that's still in the future, even for us. These are the things I want you to do. Number one, speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. So number one, here's the first thing I want you to do, Israel and God's people. I want you to speak the truth. Speak the truth. In other words, I want you to share the truth with others. Now, we know from Scripture that the truth we're holding in our hands, or maybe on your phone, but it's God's Word. That is the source of truth. And God, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, God commands us to speak the truth to the lost, of course, but also to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, down in verse 15. The Bible says, this, speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even in Christ. Notice it says, speaking the truth in love. And then look down at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Speak the truth. Now look at Colossians, two books over, and verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make a melody in your hearts with grace to the Lord. Notice it says in the first part of the verse, let the word of Christ dwell in you. And then it says to teach and admonish one another. God wants us to share his word, to speak the truth. Not only with the lost, but with one another. He wants the Word of God to be part of our conversation with each other and, of course, with the lost. And if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, God explains this role that we play as God's servants, as God's witnesses, in sharing the truth with a lost and dying world. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord," so now we know who he's talking to, he's talking to us, "must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." So notice, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's the lost. We're to be instructing them in what? The truth. In the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in giving advice to God's people, Israel, and also to us as His children, God says, this is part of your mission, mankind. I want you to speak the truth. I want you to share it with others. Take my book, share it with one another, encourage one another with my word, but also share it with the lost. And by the way, this has worked for 2,000 years, has it not? Or we wouldn't be sitting here this morning. People have been sharing the truth with others, and they've found Christ, and then they share it with others. It's exactly what God told us to do in the beginning, isn't it? He said, "Ye shall be witnesses," in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So in sharing His mission with mankind, God says, these are the things you shall do. Number one, speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. And Jesus already told us who our neighbor is, didn't He? In the parable of the, prodigal son? Our neighbor is anybody who needs our help. Well, that's all of our brothers and sisters, and that's the lost. So, we are commanded to, number one, speak ye every man the truth. Sorry, the Good Samaritan. That's the one I meant to say. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Number two, let's go back to Zechariah chapter 8, verse 16. The Bible says, "Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates." So number one, I want you to speak the truth or share the word. But number two, he's saying, I want you to execute the judgment of truth and peace. In other words, I want you to live the word. So it's not enough just to speak it to everyone else, our brothers and sisters in Christ and the lost, but now I want you to live it. You know, we are probably going to be the only Bible that a lot of people ever hear. And what I mean by that is our lives, our behavior. We're commanded to be like Christ. We're commanded to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, which is the vocation of being a Christian. We're commanded to act like a Christian. And God wants us to execute the judgment of truth and of peace. He wants us to live the Word of God. It's not enough just to speak the Word of God. He wants us to be a living testimony of the Word of God. That's what Jesus meant when He said in Matthew, He said, "Let your light so shine before men that what? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let them see the Word of God living through you. And this is what God wants from each of us. If you go to Galatians 5 and verse 14, God explains that when it comes to our neighbor, it can all be wrapped up in one little command. And we all know this. But let's look at it. Galatians 5:14. The Bible says, "For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Paul says, you want to wrap up the entire law about man interacting with man? There it is. So the entire law of man interacting with God is love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the entire law of man dealing with man can be wrapped up in this one phrase, love thy neighbor as thyself. God wants us to live His word. And that means that we are to live as Christ lived. We are to love one another. As He says here, we're to execute the judgment of truth and peace. As the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. In Romans 12:18. that we're to live peaceably with one another as much as possible. We're to be honest. The Bible says to be honest among the Gentiles in 1 Peter 2:12. And if you go to James chapter 2, the Bible says we're not to have respect of persons. This is something everybody struggles with, treating people differently based upon either their appearance or their background. God says never do it. Treat everyone with the same love. James 2:1 says, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons." So in giving us our mission as mankind, God says, number one, I want you to speak every man the truth to his neighbor. I don't want you to just have it. I want you to share it. Number two, I want you to execute the judgment of truth and of peace. In other words, I want you to carry it out. I want you to live my word so that they can see it in your life, that it truly does change lives. But number three, go to Zechariah 8:19. And the third part of our mission is also relative to His truth. He says, verse 19, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fifth, and the seventh, and the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah in joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love the truth and peace." Isn't it interesting that in giving man his mission, it all has to do with the truth? I want you to share it. I want you to live it. But lastly, he says, I want you to love it. I want you to love the truth and the peace. I want you to love my word. Now, David, of course, is our greatest example. And so we'll go to Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible. And not coincidentally, the chapter in the Bible that talks about God's word. 97, we'll start there. Actually, 92. And we'll just look at a couple of scriptures here in Psalm 119 and just look at David's example of someone who loved the truth. He loved the Word of God. Notice verse 92. "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." Now look at verse 97 of Psalm 119. "Oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day." Now verse 127 of Psalm 119. "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." And now 165, verse 165 in Psalm 119. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." David loved the word of God. And that love, by the way, was manifested in how he treated it. And it is in our lives as well. It's one thing to say, I love this book. But what does that really mean? As you all know, love is action. We've heard that enough times. So what that means is, if we do love this book, that will be evidenced in how we treat it. Amen? And I'm not talking about the physical pages. Talking about the Word of God itself. If we truly love the Word of God, that will be evidenced in how we treat the Word of God. You know, God commanded us in 1 Peter 2. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Desire it. If we really love it, we are going to desire it. But beyond that, if you go to Psalm 119, 105, if we truly love the Word of God, it's going to be evidenced in what we do with the Word of God. Just like in marriage. If we truly love each other, then we're going to treat each other with love and do loving things for one another. Just like with brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, that God says in 1 John chapter 3, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed. It's the same with His word. If we truly love His word, that's going to be evidenced in what we do with it. So number one, Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If we truly love the Word of God, you know what we're going to do? We're going to read it and consult it for direction. Because it's there to give us direction. If you go to Joshua 1:8, I know a lot of you have this memorized. This is Roy and Paula's verse. right? Good success is the last two words, and that's what their name means in Spanish. Buen suceso. Joshua 1:8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." What's the key to that verse? Meditate. We don't hear much about meditation these days, except in relation to Eastern practices. It is scriptural to meditate in God's Word. We're commanded to do it. And if we love it, we will. We'll consult it for direction by reading it. We'll meditate in it. Of course, Psalm 119:11, I don't even need to turn there. What does it say? "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." David understood the importance of memorizing God's word. And then lastly, what's 2 Timothy 2:15? "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed." If we truly love God's word, that's going to be evidenced in how we treat God's word. So God says, man, this is your mission. I want you to speak the truth, every man to his neighbor. I want you to share my word. I want you to execute the judgment of truth and of peace. I want you to live my word. And then lastly, as he says here in verse 19, I want you to love the truth and peace. I want you to love the word. And by the way, the truth and peace go together. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." If we're in love with the word of God, we will have peace. Not talking about world peace. I'm talking about peace in our hearts. Because world peace won't come till the Prince of Peace comes. So, if we love the Word of God, then we're going to desire it. We're going to meditate in it. We're going to memorize it. And we're going to study it. So that love will be evidenced by our behavior. And if we love the Word of God, you know what's going to happen? These other two things are going to become natural. We're going to live the Word of God. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It'll become natural for us because the Holy Spirit will use it to change us and mold us to the image of Jesus Christ. So God has laid out our mission here in the next to the last book of the Old Testament, written just before the 400 silent years. God gave Israel some direction. He gives us the same direction all through the Scriptures. I want you to make the Word of God an integral part of your lives. This is what I want. This is what God's saying to us. This is what I want. I want you to share the word with your neighbor, speak the truth to your neighbor. I want you to live the truth, and I want you to love the word of God, love the truth. I guarantee if we just do those three things, everything else will fall into place. If we will share the word of God with our brothers and sisters, share the word of God with the lost, if we'll do our best to live the word of God, as Jesus said, "Keep my commandments," and if we'll do our best to love the word of God by how we treat it, by reading it, by meditating in it, by memorizing it, by studying it, it has the power to mold us and make us like Jesus, which is God's ultimate goal for everyone. So love the truth.